T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
He told me, he said, "You know why I played like that tonight? You said Jokic was the hardest person to guard in the league." So I took that personal. And so I want to tell y'all, Joel's the hardest guy to guard in the league.
Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Of course, there are the voice of Draymond Green after guarding Joel Embiid on Friday night. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, Kyle Quinn, you guys with us. Hugh, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. How y'all doing this morning,
man? Good. How was your weekend?
It was good, man. It was good until I had that water alert.
Yeah, that wasn't great yesterday.
It threw everything off.
Yeah, that when you get that buzzing on the phone, it's like, what's going on?
Yeah, like, what's going on, man? So I got the alert that everybody else got, and, you know, we all rushed to the store. I got me 2 bottles of water. That's about it, because it was gone.
Well, it moved fast.
Yeah, water moves fast.
It
very
does.
Very fast.
We will keep you up to date on anything, of course, anything going on in the city. But, of course, tonight, not in the city, but out in Denver, is a gigantic game, Hugh Douglas. It is the Sixers. It is the Nuggets. And it's a game that I think the MVP will be decided tonight. And today we're going to do it. We're going to have a really fun show. It's our MVP debate show. We're going to have on guests from all over the place. Milwaukee, Denver, Howard Eskin, who's actually in Phoenix, Spike Eskin up in New York.
Spike.
Elliot, who I think is in Phoenix, too. We're going to have a ton of guests on today to give their opinion. And we'll try to kind of narrow down who should be the MVP, who is the MVP of the NBA. And right now, the odds say, Hugh, that it still is Joel Embiid. He has a chance to cement that tonight. Look, I want to start like this. Joel Embiid is a tremendous basketball player. And right now, he's likely the MVP of the NBA. He's earned that this year. He's had a great season. Back-to-back losses doesn't change that. He's the favorite for a reason. But as I think about Joel Embiid, Hugh, and I've thought this for a while, sometimes in the NBA there's talent and then there's champions. There's talented players and there's championship players. Mm-hmm. And I look at Joel Embiid and I say he's an amazingly talented player. He might win an MVP this year. But you, I still have questions, and I don't believe in this moment today, as we have this conversation, that we're watching a championship player. You know, Saturday night, obviously he's a little banged up with the calf, and he didn't play great, and they lost the Suns. It's just one game. But then after the game, he's talking about how fatigued he is, and he's talking about, you know, kind of he's played every game, and he's played a lot of minutes. And, Hugh, I just have a question on Joel Embiid on how much his mind is in the right place, and I have a question on Joel Embiid. Is he ever going to be where he needs to be in the playoffs? Because I just feel like this MVP push, it's taken a lot at him. It feels like he's put a lot into this MVP push, and tonight I'm sure he'll play. But I question, and I don't know, and in fact, I don't believe right now, Hugh, that Joel Embiid is a championship player.
You know what? The way that you framed this question, we were talking about it this morning, and you know, I was kind of going back and thinking about it. And I say I have to agree. And one of the things that I look at when you talk about him as a player, and the one thing that I've never heard a championship player say is that he's tired, especially one that has been playing as long as Joel Embiid. Now, I know a lot of people might feel like, you know, I'm using, you know, semantics and wordplay and things of that nature. But I'll tell you this, just give you a little bit of my story. Going into my third season in the NFL, you know, I think I was here when it was Tommy Brazier. No, it was when Tommy Brazier was here. Tommy Brazier became my defensive line coach. And he asked me, what do you want to be? Like it's about time for you to start figuring out what type of player that you want to be and what do you have to do? You know, and one thing that I did was never complain about fatigue or anything like that. You just can't. If you're tired, you have to do, as a professional, you have to do everything within your power to make sure that doesn't happen. If that means to go work out a little bit extra after the game or after practice or whatever, then you do that. You know, one thing, like when I think about championship players, one of the guys that comes to mind immediately is Brian Dawkins. And I know people are probably saying, well, you know, Dawk never won a championship. I said, but he had a championship mentality. Now, that is something that nobody can dispute when you talk about Brian Dawkins. And the one thing that I remember about Brian was this. Brian was in the morning working out before practice. Brian was at practice. And after practice, he was working out. And so much so that that was the kind of infectious nature that it was around the locker room. And playing in that defense early on here in Philadelphia, we knew that there was probably going to be a good chance that we were going to play a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so you prepared yourself for exactly that. We would run after practice, and then I remember going after practice and running a little bit more. So that one thing that it would never be an issue in the fourth quarter, that would never be an issue for me is being tired. And when you hear a player of that caliber with that kind of talent say something like that, then that's why you ask the question or you state it the way that you stated, is that, you know, he's not a championship player. You listen, you're too old in the game to let some to tell anybody that you're tired. You've been in the game too long. It's obvious that you have certain goals that you want to attain. That's clear. You want to be the MVP. If you really want to be the MVP, MVP starts in the offseason, in my opinion. You start working towards your MVP run as soon as the season over and asking yourself, what do I need to do to be better? What do I need to do not to be so tired around this time of year? That would be the question that I would ask Joel Embiid. So if you're tired, Joel, that's your fault because you wasn't doing what you needed to do in the offseason not to be tired.
215-592-9494 to hop in here. We will debate all day, and we will have plenty of guests on to give us their perspective. Different cities, different people, different kind of thinkers. I would think Spike Eskin and Howard Eskin couldn't be different thinkers, even though they are father and son. They'll all be on our show today to have this conversation about Joel Embiid and if he's going to win the MVP and how they'd vote right now. But championship player, because that's what I'm hung up on. I said it a couple weeks ago, and I'll say it. I know we're doing our MVP debate show. I don't care if he wins the MVP. Like, I don't care. We're going to find out in 3 or 4 weeks if he does. But I want to win a championship. And I look at Joel Embiid, and I don't think he's a championship player. I'm going to read you the quote. This was after the game the other night. Keith Pompey had this in the Inquirer. This is a Joel Embiid quote after the loss to the Suns on Saturday. Quote, "I'm going to need one game off pretty soon," Embiid said. "It's two things. Like I said, it's all about being healthy for the playoffs. You know, like tonight, I was very sloppy. Usually when I'm sluggish and sloppy, that means I'm tired. Like you said, I've been playing a lot of minutes. I've been playing every single game." Like, dude, like, this is your job. And here's what frustrates me, Hugh. I think players have to know themselves, right? Like, you knew yourself. Your coach asked you, and you figured out what you needed to do. So there's two ways of going about this, right? Giannis, Kobe, let's go LeBron James. They don't get tired, right? They work hard enough where they don't get tired. Okay,
and if they do, you never hear them say it.
Never. So that's one end of the spectrum. And he's obviously not on that end of the spectrum. That's okay. There's also players, Hugh, I would say Kawhi Leonard, and I would say Shaquille O'Neal, who know their bodies. Like, I can't play, especially remember Shaq with the Lakers? He didn't play every game. He took games off. He rested for the playoffs. He knew his body. To be a championship player, it meant he wasn't going to win as many MVPs. He was going to only play, you know, whatever, 60 games instead of 80 games. It seems like Joel, my perception is he's caught in between. He wants to win an MVP, but I also think that's hurting their chances of winning a title. If he's tired in March, he's got to play two more months at this level. It's only March.
Yeah, but my thing is this. You could do both. I think that you can do both, but you have to prepare yourself for both. And, you know, I know a lot of people out there might not agree with what I'm saying, and that's fine. You don't have to. But when you make a decision, I look at it like this. When you become a professional athlete, you have the absolute best job in the world, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, or hockey, because you get paid to play a game that you probably grew up loving.
Mm-hmm.
And the hardest thing that you have to do on a day-to-day basis is prepare your body for the grueling grind that is the regular season, whatever your regular season is. That is your job. So that means that on those days that you don't want to work out, and especially if you're a guy who has aspirations of either being a Hall of Fame, whatever, or just a dominant player in your field, that means you got to take your butt to the gym every day and work out. And at this point in your life, if you're a professional, then that is your old hat for you. That is something that you should be used to doing. You know, and knowing how the game evolves and how the game changes every year, for you to sit there and say that I'm tired, to me, that's a lazy excuse. That's on you. If you're tired, that means you did not do enough in the offseason or during the regular season to get yourself prepared for this moment because you knew you were trying to make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, you did.
You knew you were trying to make it to the playoffs.
You knew what you wanted to do. Gino Auriemma, the women's basketball coach, he had a quote once I saw that great players don't get tired. And it always sticks with me. Great players don't get tired. Joel admitted he's tired. 215-592-9494. And Embiid also, you know, as we go into this game tonight, I'm sure he cares about the MVP. But a few weeks ago, here's what he said about this whole debate we're having today.
I don't know. That's not for me to answer. I feel like, you know, obviously being in the running the last 2 years, you know, has been whatever. And, you know, this year, you know, I've taken a different approach. Just trying to focus on the right things, you know, win games, dominate, which I've been doing. And whatever happens, happens. You know, obviously, who wouldn't love to, you know, win one? That's the, you know, the best award anyone can get.
See, this is the thing for me. In order to be dominant, you can't get tired. You know, I mean, you can't. I mean, and I know that there are probably people out here listening right now that are Joel Embiid fans that are probably saying that I'm wrong. But listen, if you want to be that dude, then you have to work like that dude. You have to outwork everybody. You have to assume that everybody that you're playing against, even if it's not true, is out there working their butt off to beat you.
That's it.
And you have to go out there and work harder to beat them. That's what it's all about. Man, one thing I always took pride in when I played, because I wasn't considered one of the bigger dudes to play the game. But I used to say this during the course of the game. I took great pride in beating a bigger man's ass. I really, really did, because it was like the one thing that I would always hear in when I was going to combines and people were evaluating me for the draft and everything. Well, you know, he's not that big. What position is he going to play? He's too big to be a linebacker, and he's too small to be a defensive end. You know, he's going to get swallowed up by players. I remember reading quotes where people were saying, well, you know, he gets engulfed by blockers because they're bigger than him. So my whole thing was, in that offseason, after my first year in the league, was I'm going to get stronger and I'm going to work harder, because the one thing, you know, you might be bigger than me, but you're not going to outwork me. And when the fourth quarter come around, when you're blowing and you're tired, that's when I'm going to be at my best. And that's the way that I approached it. And I remember Bill Parcells telling me one time that anybody could get sacks in the first quarter of a game. Can you get them in the fourth? Can you get them when the team really needs them? And that was one thing that I always try to take pride in, man. When the game is on the line, if you give me the time that I need, I'm going to go ahead and make it happen.
Well, and that's how you win. And that's how winning is done. 215-592-9494. You know, today's kind of a gut check show. We all realize Joel Embiid is a tremendous basketball player, and he might be the MVP of the league. By the end of the show, we'll have a lot of opinions on that. But is he a championship player? Like, what's your gut feeling when I say that? The playoffs are like 2.5 weeks away. The Sixers have like 7 games to go. They play the Nuggets tonight. Do you believe, we've watched this guy for 7 years on the court, 9 years since he was drafted, do you believe Joel Embiid is a championship player? Yes or no? Kyle Quinn, what are you feeling on this?
Championship player. I don't see a championship ring on his finger. In fact, I haven't even seen the guy get past the second round of the playoffs. Look,
there's that second round of the playoffs.
Second round of the playoffs, man. I mean, that should be a pretty easy benchmark to clear for a guy who, like, I guess 80% of people on Twitter are saying is a championship player. Probably should get past the second round at least once in his career for us to call him that. Look, I think he's probably the most talented, most exciting Sixer that I ever remember watching. I think he's more physically gifted than Allen Iverson when you take everything into consideration. He's without question in my mind the MVP of the NBA this season, but to be the MVP and to be a championship player are two different discussions. And I'll take this back to Allen Iverson, and I know he didn't win a championship, but in his MVP season in 2001, he also dragged a team of Eric Snow and Aaron McKee and other guys like that to the NBA Finals and gave that Lakers team, which was an incredible Lakers team, their only loss of the postseason. That is a performance that a championship player puts on. That's a champion's mentality. That's a guy who's not getting tired, as Embiid is alluding to here. And I just look at Embiid right now, and he's already planting the seeds of excuses, as Hugh was pointing out here. I don't think he can be the guy to do what Allen Iverson did that season yet. At least if he can, I have not seen it yet. So championship player, no.
All right, we're aligned on this. Let's see what the people think. 215-592-9494. Deep down, your gut feeling, do you believe Joel's a championship player? We've watched this guy for a long time. We know how good he's become. I mean, he's obviously the favorite right now to win the MVP. He could lock it up tonight. What a great performance against Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets. But do you believe he's a championship player? Because that's really what this is all about. Tom is in Dover. Good morning, Tom.
Yo, what's up, guys? How y'all doing this morning?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, listen, Joe. When I start calling the radio station, right, I like to listen. I don't always want to call in. I only call in when I get mad, right? And I got mad when they start talking about Embiid is a championship player. Embiid is not a championship player because Embiid don't have no heart, period. He got talent. Ain't nobody saying that he don't have talent. But he don't have no heart. He need to go somewhere and get some film and look at somebody like Moses Malone. That's hot. You never hear Moses Malone talk about he was tired when he was scoring double points, 20 points a night and double digits and rebounds. And he was an undersized center, if y'all know anything about the game.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? He was undersized. And he led the league in rebounds multiple years. You know, this dude here, he is already Charles pitching for a couple nights off. You know, I understand, Hugh. Why do they give out these MVPs at the end of the regular season when they should give them out at the end of the season after the championships and everything is over? Because how can you give him or Jokic the MVP? Neither one of them ain't been in the championship. Period.
Well, not even close. Neither have been to the finals.
You know, I was saying on the radio this morning, you know, in my opinion, the Sixers stick. There's no way we should have lost to Phoenix the other night. They didn't even have KD, so they were shorthanded. You know, okay, people are going to say, well, we didn't have Harden. Yeah, we was winning. It's no reason why you're winning and then you turn around and you lose by 20. The same thing in Golden State. They shorthanded. We was winning. You turn around and lose that game. And this guy talking about, he's the MVP, and now he needs a day off. Come on, man. Embiid ain't no champion, man. He's not.
Yeah, you know, this is the thing. I think that as a professional athlete, it's your job to be able to read the room mm-hmm. and understand how your words carry power and what you say carries weight. It's obvious that from the things that have come out of his mouth that he doesn't understand that. And you have to understand that when you say things like I'm tired, people aren't going to understand that because the only thing they know is, you know, you play basketball. Like there are people out there that work real jobs that come home and make food for their family and get up and go do it again. They're tired. Now, those are the ones that's tired. But guess what? They don't complain about it. So you tend to rub folks the wrong way when your job is to go out there and make baskets and work out, and then you say, during the time where you need to be charged and full of life, that I'm tired. Dude, the playoffs about to start. And for you to start talking about you need days off and all this other stuff, that's not what we're trying to hear.
Yeah, and Tom, you're right, man. We appreciate it. This is what drives me crazy about this guy. We did this during the All-Star game when he played. He played 28 minutes in the All-Star game for no reason. And now we're doing it. The whole month of March, he's been great, right? He's played really, really well. But he's tired now. What is the point of all of this? Like, I'm tired of this hypocritical Joel Embiid crap that I'm seeing this morning. Oh, I don't care if I win the MVP. Then, dude, why have you played all these minutes in the month of March? What is the point of this? Like, this makes no sense. Championship players don't get tired. Championship players are ready for the postseason, and every year it's something. Like, I could already forecast how this is going to go. He's going to be out of gas sometime in the beginning of May, and he's going to say, I don't know what happened. Well, I do, Joel. You either weren't in good enough shape, or you gave everything you had to win the MVP.
Yeah, better go see the wizard. Got to go see the wizard, man. Got to go get some more heart or something.
Go see him,
you can't
man.
Get tired. Like, man, listen, I understand that people are not going to agree. You can't get tired during a playoff run. You can't. You just can't. You got to do what you got to do, man. You got to go eat one of them hyperbaric chambers, one of them oxygen tanks or something. Do what you have to do to be ready to go. You can't, like, that is an excuse that you use for rookies when they're not used to the grind of the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that as a guy that's been in the game as long as Joel has been in the game.
No, you can't.
You can't do that.
Let's talk to Rasheem in North Philly. What's up, Rasheem?
Rasheem!
What's up? I think this is a crazy question to ask about Joel Embiid, a dominant big man. Like, I don't know, like, the whole thing about with him saying that he's tired and this whole big, you know, this big story about it. But the man, you know, the man could be tired. You got to think about it. He's been, he's 7'2", 280 pounds. He's leading the scoring at 33 points a game. Now, so I guess we're expecting, because he's saying he's tired, that it's going to show up in the playoffs. Anytime Joel has been healthy in the playoffs, he's been dominant.
Hold on. I want facts. Let's use facts, Rasheem. Let's use facts. All his numbers in the postseason compared to the regular season in his career are worse. He is undoubtedly a worse player. Rasheem, part of being a great player is being there and at your best in the biggest moments. The truth is, he's not.
Rasheem,
so
you know,
hold on. So we're criticizing him because of injuries that's unforeseen, fluky injuries at that. So we're criticizing this man because of that.
Wait a minute, Rasheem, you know we're criticizing him because as a former player, as a former professional athlete, you're setting the stage for failure. You're setting it up. You're setting it up for a built-in excuse. If you don't play well in the playoffs, guess what? You can say, "Well, I was tired. I ran out of gas."
I hear you, Hugh, but this is something that, you know, I'm not saying it's a built-in excuse, but I said the last 3 or 4 years the Sixers have underperformed. I think this man understands and knows what's going on. So I'm not going to pick that when he says he's tired.
Well, let me ask you this then. If you say he knows what he's going to go through this season, right? So why didn't he prepare for this season in the offseason, knowing how the postseason has been for him over the last few years?
I think he has, but we also got to put the onus on James Harden being able to step up in the playoffs. We also got to put the onus.
We're not talking about James Harden.
Rasheem, when we say the Sixers are if they win, it's because of who? Who do we put that on?
It's because of Joel Embiid.
Right. Give me 2 seconds, and I'm gonna wrap it up for you in a nice little bow.
Okay.
If I know going into the season that I'm the catalyst for my team to be successful, then it's on me as a professional athlete to do everything that I need to do so that I will be prepared for what's asked of me. If I consider myself that dude, then I got to prepare for that dude for everything. I have to prepare for that, man.
Can I ask you one question?
Yeah.
Have Giannis won a championship without Chris Middleton or Drew Holiday?
I don't care, Rasheem. Rasheem, time out. I will put it this way. Rasheem, and I'll put you back on the air. In June, or whenever that was, because there was a pandemic, I don't know if maybe it was late June or early July. I don't care what month it was. Rasheem, in June, July, whenever those finals happened 2 years ago, he was the best athlete on the floor in late June. Do you ever think Joel Embiid will be the best athlete on the floor, the most in shape? Just answer the question. Do you think that? Because 9 years now, he's out of gas, Rasheem.
He's in shape now. He just had 46 points 2 nights ago.
And then what did he do? And then what happened? The next night, he played like crap. He said he played like crap.
I just don't understand like the Joel Embiid criticism. Like I hear people, because if you want to criticize this man about not making out the second round of the playoffs, but I could pick this on a whole lot of other
that's,
people.
Then didn't do that, Rasheem. That's fine.
But you can't say you're tired, dude. Let Doc say that. Like if you're tired, that's Doc's call. Because to me, that's a built-in excuse. Hey, you know what? I got tired. Yeah, you would get mad at anybody if Jalen Hurts would have said that in the Super Bowl. Hey, man, I was tired.
People would have flipped out. tired.
Listen, the fact that and we remember this. Remember when Donovan was throwing up? People were tripping on him for that.
Yes.
Like, why are you in the Super Bowl throwing up, dog? Why are you throwing up?
It's
not a good look, man. I hear what you're saying, but it's just not a good look.
It's not. 215-592-9494. Joel Embiid's a great player. He's the favorite to win the MVP. We're going to discuss over the course of this show with a lot of guests from all over the place that cover teams that obviously are associated with us here at WIP on whether or not this guy's the MVP. But bigger picture, because this is what matters to me, do you believe he's a championship player? Yes or no? The three of us here, myself, you, and Kyle, we're aligned on this. Where do you come down? Do you believe Joel Embiid is a championship player? Yes or no? 215-592-9490. From the other side, all your phone calls, all your reaction, and we'll get ESP's input on the MVP debate. And he recently made a comparison of Jokic to another player we know very well. You don't want to miss that. It's next, right here on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And I think this year, compared to the last 2 years, I think this year, unfortunately, has taken a really ugly, nasty turn in the MVP conversation. And I think it's really turned a lot of people off, including him. And what's happening now is there's so many guys that could win the MVP this year. Great candidates. Joel Embiid is a great candidate. Luka Doncic is a great candidate. Jason Tatum, whoever you want to put in that mix, like, those are all deserving. But what happens in today's society is that everybody, it's like when I was a college coach, all the negative recruiting. It's not promoting my guy, it's ripping down every other guy. And that's just ridiculous. This game is, as Adam Silver told us at the All-Star break, the game is in a great spot. The league's in a great spot. We have great players. Celebrate them. Don't criticize. Don't tear them down. Build them all up. And whoever wins it, good for them.
Welcome back. WIP Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, the voice there of aforementioned Mr. Softy, Mike Malone, the head coach of the Nuggets.
Celebrate all the stuff he does well.
You know what? That was eerily similar. Celebrate him. Here's my question. We'll get back to the phones here in a second. 215-592-9494. But you, I was wondering, because that was Mike Malone, the coach of the Nuggets, talking about all the negativity out there, everyone kind of tearing down other candidates as opposed to just propping up the guy they like. Do we think Mike Malone follows Elliott Shore Parks on Twitter?
I would probably say no.
Well, I think he might have seen his tweet. Let's bring on Elliott, because Elliott, when I heard Mike Malone say that, Elliott's live at the owners' meetings out in Phoenix and joining us for our MVP debate. Elliott, I think he saw your tweet, Mike Malone, about Jokic playing like Simmons.
Well, here's the thing. If he doesn't follow me, I don't want him to follow me. I'm blocking him at this point after hearing that statement. Like, this is my biggest pet peeve that's happening right now with that quote, but with MVP talking in general. It's okay to care and to be passionate about the award that's the best player in the whole league. It's the biggest award in the league. This idea that if you care about it, or if you're passionately talking about it, or saying why one person gets it over another makes you a loser, or you should only concentrate on this or that. What have we gotten to where players can't care about winning individual awards? So I hate that quote from Mike Malone. I hate the idea Embiid shouldn't care about winning MVP. And he should care, because he is the MVP this year.
Why? Give us your case for Embiid. Because I was looking at it this morning. Elliott, I do think right now if their voting happened today, he'd win. I think he could kind of cement it tonight. I also think Jokic is still right there. Like, you know, if you played it out for me that Jokic has a big night tonight, Nuggets win, I could see him being the favorite again tomorrow. Why would you vote Embiid right now?
So I think there's a couple reasons. One, he's the best player in the league. So I think that's a pretty strong reason on why he should win MVP. He's the best offensive player in the league, and you can make an argument he's the best defensive player in the league, but he's most definitely the best two-way player in the league when you combine both of them, right? So I think he checks all the boxes on what you want from the best player. He can score from all three levels. He's dominant and clutch, right? He's a go-to guy. He completely dictates the game on the defensive side of the floor. So individually, he checks every box. But if you look at the team part of it too, right, and this is why it's a joke that Jokic won it last year for an average Nuggets team. But if you look at the NBA this year, the best three teams in the league are all in the Eastern Conference, right? The Bucks, the Celtics, and the Sixers. And we could go back and forth and debate which is better. At this point, it probably is the Bucks, but the Sixers are right there with them. You know who's not in that conversation? The Nuggets, because nobody thinks the Nuggets are going to win the title. Nobody, right? So when I look at what an MVP is, it's the best player in the league, but it's also the best player on the best team. And I think Embiid, he definitely checks the best player box, and I think he potentially checks the best player on the best team box as well.
It doesn't bother you when Embiid comes out and says that, you know, during this time of the year, especially when we get ready for a playoff push, that he's a little tired?
Well, I didn't see him say that. If he did, I'll take your word for it. But, I mean, look, I also think that, you know, the same thing where we don't want players to say they care, it's okay to be honest, right? You were a player, Hugh, you know how it is. Sometimes you just have to say the right thing. But I also think that we should appreciate players who say the honest thing. And let's be real, he's played 60-plus games. He's been playing basketball for months. He's heading into the playoffs. I'm okay with him saying he's a little tired, especially when he just played back-to-back games. So I don't think he sat out a ton of games this year for rest. I actually think he's probably pushed it a little harder than maybe he should. But yeah, I'm always going to be okay with the player saying how he feels, honestly.
All right, let me ask you it this way, LA, because there's obviously different conversations within the same conversation, and I think we all agree he's an MVP candidate. He might win it, and maybe right now he should win it, and he probably had the vote of a lot of people. Almost everyone, I think, listening to this show right now would vote for the guy right now if it was up to them. But, LA, I'm going to throw a gut check kind of question at you. Do you believe Joel Embiid is a championship player?
Yeah, so I think it's a great question, but I would kind of counter that by saying, what players in the league are? Are they only players that have won a championship? Because I used to be with you on that, Joe, right? I used to be in the camp of you can't win with centers, you can't win with Embiid because he won't be healthy come playoff time. But I think this year, I know it's changed my perception. I think it should change a lot of people's perception because he's changed his game. I know he's listed as a center and physically he is a center, but he plays a guard game. If you actually look at the type of shots he takes, it's extremely comparable to the shots that Allen Iverson took in 2001 when he was the MVP, right? And I know it's a different game and there weren't as many threes, but Embiid does the majority of his work and the majority of his scoring from the perimeter. He gets the ball right below the three-point line. He can shoot from the three-point line. His mid-range jumper is maybe the most unstoppable shot in the entire NBA just because he's so good at it and he's so tall. So I think when you talk about can you be a championship player, my concern has been, are you going to win a title with a back-to-the-basket, backing-it-down center? No, I don't think you can do that. But Embiid's not that player anymore. So I actually do think now he can be a championship player with the way he's playing.
So is tonight the night that we decide who's going to be the MVP since these guys are going head-to-head tonight?
Yeah, I think tonight's a big night. But here's the other thing. I think it's actually insulting to Embiid to even compare him to Jokic anymore. Like, it's not Jokic anymore. It's Giannis. Jokic is just a better version of Ben Simmons. If Ben Simmons was allowed to be his own player, right? His best skill is passing, and that's the easiest skill in the whole NBA. So I actually think comparing Jokic and Embiid at this point is silly. The discussion right now is Giannis. And I think that that's a good one because Giannis is the best player on arguably the best team in the NBA. So I'm excited for that matchup. But Embiid cooks Jokic every single time they play. He cooked him earlier this year. He'll probably cook him tonight. And then I'm excited for when Embiid and Giannis play because I think that'll have a really, really big impact on who the MVP is.
Well, it certainly could. We're talking to Elliot Shore Parks, who is out in Arizona for the owners' meetings. All right, let's talk some Eagles here. Give us kind of a rundown of how these next few days go. I know they're going to vote on some rule, possible changes to rules, and maybe we find out about an owner of the Commanders. So tell us what's on deck for the Eagles in the NFL next couple days.
Yeah, so I'm here in Arizona, and people are probably wondering why I'm yelling about Embiid outside of the owners' meeting. But, yeah, I mean, Nick Sirianni, Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman are all here. There's going to be meetings regarding rule changes and those type of things. But from an Eagles perspective, we're going to hear from Nick Sirianni tomorrow. Jeffrey Lurie is going to talk, and, you know, he really only kind of talks one time a year now. He talked a little bit at the Super Bowl in the playoffs, but this is kind of the only formal sit-down interview at a podium we kind of get from him. So it'll be really interesting to see what he has to say. And then Howie Roseman, of course, with all the offseason moves, you know, what's next? How's their cap situation? in those type of things. So it's a really important 2 days for the Eagles, not just from an information perspective, but also I think from a trade perspective. Like, every general manager in the league is here. Every head coach is here. Like, this is where the next phase of free agency and trades around the league happen. So it could be a very active few days for the Eagles here.
So how come we ain't heard nothing about this Jalen Hurts contract, man? What's going on with that?
Yeah, it's a good question. So when I was down in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine, the perception I got from being down there was that this thing is basically just, it's going to happen, right? And I still think it is going to happen. But as the days tick away and as it, you know, it gets further away from the end of the regular season, you do wonder if maybe it's not as close as we all thought, right? And that's not a bad thing. I mean, this is a massive negotiation, right? But the other part of this is, if the Eagles are going to pay Jalen Hurts this offseason, if they're going to pay him early, right, they have to get something in return for that. I think often when we discuss this contract, it's from Jalen's perspective as to, like, well, how much money should he take? Should he take more money, less money, all those things? The Eagles have to get something out of this, too. The benefit of paying him is to get him at some version of a discount right now. Mm-hmm. So I do think that those negotiations are taking place. I think the length of the contract is probably the biggest kind of tough negotiation, because he's only 24, and the Eagles are going to want to wrap him up. So in 3 years, they're getting him at a discount as opposed to just, you know, paying him top of the dollar, top of the market dollar every single year. So I still think it'll get done. If you remember, Carson's contract wasn't announced until June when they signed him. So there's still time. But yeah, I'm a little surprised it's not done and announced yet.
Yeah, it will be interesting to monitor how quickly this happens and if any news comes out. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on. You got to start it strong with the Jokic take here. We appreciate it, and we'll catch up soon. Thank you.
You're the man.
Yeah, no problem. Talk to you soon.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks live at the owners' meetings. Yeah, I do wonder when we start hearing some rumblings about the Hurts contract. Like, the fact that it isn't done, Hugh, at some point, someone's going to probably write something or say something that maybe it's not as easy as maybe everyone thought it would be.
Yeah, everybody's trying to figure out, I guess, probably the years, how much money, because, you know, he's going to get broken off, no question about that. It's just, I think the biggest hangup is how to make it friendly enough for the team so that they can go out and still field a pretty good team around it.
And we don't know what he wants. I mean, guys, he might want a short deal. Maybe him and his agent say, get back to free agency in 3 years. And the Eagles are like, no, we want six. So we'll see what happens. And obviously, we'll have Elliot on whenever anything breaks. 215-592-9494 is how you hop aboard. Let's get back to the phone lines here. A lot of reaction to the Joel Embiid conversation. You know, tonight is the night him and Jokic will have a lot of guests on today, different perspectives on who is the MVP, who should it be. But what's your gut feeling? Is this guy a championship player? We all know he's great, but is Joel Embiid a championship player? The three of us are aligned here. He's not. He hasn't shown that to us. Do you think Joel Embiid is a championship player? Joe's in Mayfair up on WIP. Hey, Joe.
Joe.
Hell no.
Why?
Because it's your body language. It's your persona. It's your will. It's how you present yourself on and off the court. And he does not come across as wanting to be that leader who does everything possible to be the leader in that locker room. And he, you know, listen, I watched the games, and I'm not even going to blame him for being tired. If I was him and what I'm asked to do, I would be tired too. And I'm going to explain to you guys why. And I'm not an Embiid fan when it comes to his game in the last 5 minutes of the game. And I blame this on Doc Rivers completely. When you play 3-on-5 basketball in a half-court set, you're going to be exhausted. They don't set up plays for anybody else but Embiid in the last 5 minutes of a game. Everything runs through him in the last 5 minutes of a game because you don't have anybody else that moves on the basketball. Anybody could guard this team in the half-court set. You have Tobias Harris that sits in one corner. You have Tucker who sits in another corner who don't move the entire possession. They sit in the corner and they don't move like they're being in timeout. You have Maxey running around a screen always on the right side, and he either takes a 25-footer, gets blocked off, or goes to the hoop and takes a wild shot, and you have Embiid never going on a low block to create more space, trying to be Hakeem Olajuwon playing the three-man. And then if Harden has the ball, it's step-back three. They don't do anything else on the half-court offense in the last 5 minutes of the game. And it's predictable, and they fail every year.
You just kind of made my point for me. Like I said, if you know that, just like you said, they play three-man basketball, if you're the catalyst for all of that, then you should be prepared for that. That's my whole argument, is that if you know that this thing goes with you, you make it go, then as a player, you have to be prepared for that. You have to be. There's no, I mean, to me, I mean, I know it's, this is probably an old school way of thinking, Joe, but to me, there's no other way around it. If I know that if my best chance of winning a game is predicated on how well I play or how yeah. much I do, then that's on me as a player.
Yeah, it's the job description.
Yes.
And Joe, I understand your point. Joe, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, I do think there are challenges with running an offense through a center. Now, he's not a typical center, right? He's a tremendous player, and he can score.
That, even with that being said, man, listen, I'm old school, and listen, I respect everybody's opinion, but, dude, my pops used to work two jobs. Like, he would get off of work from one job, take like a half an hour nap, take a shower, take a half an hour nap, and go to the next job so that we had what we needed. I don't know any other way. I hear what you're saying, but I don't know any other way. If that's the job, if that's what you got to do to keep food on the table or get your team to the championship, then damn it, that's what you do. You go the extra mile. No other way around it. No other way around.
Yeah, and I think this guy has been caught in between what he wants to be. He's this morning, there's quotes, he doesn't care if he wins the MVP. Well, dude, if you don't care about winning the MVP, then you didn't have to play as many minutes in the month of March. Rest your body for the games that really matter. We're already barreling down what's happening here. He said he's tired from playing all these minutes. Well, I've been playing every game. That's your job. If you want to be the MVP, you play every game. And if you can't do that and win a championship, then prioritize one. 215-592-9494. Gerald's at Germantown. Hey, Gerald.
Hey, man, y'all got it all wrong. First of all, before I jump on y'all about MB, let me get this off with Hugh. Hugh, as many times you gave me that key to that gray viper to go get your playbook, I just want to let you know that, you know, I know you a little bit. Now, back to my MB point, man. Come on, man. He's allowed to be tired. He's 7'2", 280. He plays both ends of the court. And by him coming out saying that, it doesn't diminish his performance. Another thing, this dude, man, is a championship player. He's a championship-caliber player. But to become a championship-caliber player, you need a championship-caliber team. That's the difference.
So we're making excuses. So you called in to make excuses. No, you did. Gerald, you called in to basically tell us Tobias Harris isn't good enough.
No. I never even mentioned
that. Well, you're talking about the team, Gerald. I can read between the lines.
And the team is not good enough, and you know it.
Gerald, let me ask you a question. Has he played his best basketball in the biggest moments? Yes or no?
I would probably say no.
Okay.
I would probably say no.
Why do you think that is?
What do you mean? It's a team game.
Well, no, I know. I asked about him. I didn't say the team.
But an individual could take you to the promised land.
In the past, it's been his conditioning. In the past, we got on him beat about conditioning in the past, not playing every game. You know, he don't play every game. Now we getting on his case because he's playing every game.
Well, no, because a player this deep in their career's got to know their body. Gerald, I mentioned Shaquille O'Neal earlier. Shaquille O'Neal wasn't built to play 110 games a year. He realized that. Well, Gerald, you're right. You're exactly right. But guess what Shaq realized and Phil Jackson realized back in the day? We got to sit the big fella down and get him ready for the playoffs.
Okay,
instead, I'm watching Joel Embiid fly around and play 28 minutes in an All-Star game.
See, but now you're jumping on both sides of the argument.
No, I'm not. Gerald, I don't think this – no, I'll make it very simple. Ready? I'll make it very simple. I don't think he's built mentally or physically to hoist up a trophy. That's what I feel.
I respect your opinion, but you also have to respect the next man's opinion, mine. And I say we got on this dude because he wasn't in shape and he didn't play years ago. Now he's in shape and able to play. We get on him in the playoffs. I haven't even started.
Because he told me he's tired already.
He played a back-to-back.
Oh, wow. I mean, do we give him a trophy for that?
A back-to-back. Any player, if you look at the records of any player that play a back-to-back, the next game they're not that good. Come on, guys, cut it out.
Gerald, that's fine. I mean, excuses.
I respect your opinion, but listen, if you're getting ready for a playoff push and that's what's asked of you, especially if you're trying to win the MVP, that's not an excuse that you can use, in my humble opinion.
Well, I don't think it is either. And you know, you said it earlier. It's one thing to feel it. I mean, I'm not saying he's not a human being. You could be tired, but
you don't share it.
Exactly.
I understand. Like, he's human. I mean, there's been times that I've been tired. You ain't gonna know. You're not gonna know. That's when you push yourself. I guess I'm just built a little different. And I know it's basketball, and I'm comparing basketball to football. But I think the rule still applies. How many times you ever heard Kobe say he was tired? How many times you heard LeBron say he was tired? the one that we always want to go to. I ain't never heard Michael Jordan say, you know, I was tired. I don't know. You know, I'm pretty sure that there were games where Michael Jordan didn't play a back-to-back or whatever. But, and there were plenty of games where Michael didn't play his greatest. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is this. I don't recall ever hearing him talk about being tired, especially when you're getting ready for a playoff push. If anything, in my humble opinion, that's when you should start feeling charged because you're in the postseason and you have a chance to win the championship. That's what, like I said, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, here's what's clear. Joel Embiid wants to win the MVP. He could say he doesn't want to, and he's pushed for it. And if he does, it's a great achievement for him in his career. But that doesn't push them closer to a title if he's tired. He's burnt out. Jeff's in Wilmington. Hey, Jeff.
Guys, what's going on?
What's up, Jeff? What's going on,
man? Hey, look, man, you guys might need to take a day off tomorrow because, you know, back-to-back, working back-to-back days is tough.
Man, listen.
Well, and we had a road trip. They sent us down to Florida. We're gassed.
I run my mouth for a living. Ain't no need for me to take a day off. Only thing that'll keep me out of this studio is if I had the COVID. That's it.
Look, here's the thing. Joel has probably the most talent of any player playing right now, maybe except for Giannis or whatever, one of those dudes. But you gotta have the mindset that no one's going to outwork you. And if you're going to tell yourself and tell the public that I'm tired, man, you're just setting yourself up to fail. That's you know.
Yep.
Whether it's true or not doesn't matter. It's you're letting people know that. You're given an excuse of why you're not playing.
A built-in excuse.
Say it, man.
You're not supposed to say it. Listen, that's the point that I'm trying to make. And obviously, people don't understand that. If I considered myself to be the best defensive end that was in the league, there's no excuse that I can use. I'm the best. Like I'm not going. You're not going to outwork me. You're not about to beat me up. And when you're tired, that's when I'm going to be at my best. That's what I'm trying to say. I understand football is different than basketball. But I'm pretty sure that there's a lot of basketball players that have a football player's mentality when it comes to that.
Somebody else is going to judge you how hard you work, but in your mind, you've got to be like, there ain't no way anybody else going to outwork me. They might have more talent than me or whatever, but I'm gonna work hard and I'm gonna make it at least outwardly appear that I'm not tired.
Well, that's all. Like, that's all you're saying. Yeah. I mean, you're human. We're all human, and you get tired. You're not about to. I'm not about to tell you I'm tired. You know, it's funny. I think back, and I remember just like listening to some of the great players talk about how they play. Jim Brown was one of the guys that said he walked back to the huddle. He would run hard every play, but he would walk back to the huddle the same way every time because he didn't want anybody to know if he was hurt or not. He did it slow. It was clotting or whatever. But when that ball was snapped,
time to go.
It was time to rock and roll. That's all I'm saying. Listen, you could be tired. But when you consider yourself the best, that's not a built-in excuse that you should use, in my opinion.
Well,
now, if y'all want to use that excuse in everyday life, that's fine. Be my guest. But you can't be considered an elite player and you yelling, I'm tired, in my opinion.
Well, especially as a leader. You're talking about the Jim Brown aspect. Like, his teammates looked at him, too, as he walked back to the huddle. Yeah. If he's tired, maybe they realize they're tired. Like, Joel's trying to lead this team, and he's talking about being tired as the playoffs are about to start.
Listen, you – I'm getting my feelings now. You don't understand how much a leader affects the people around him. Like, I go back to Brian Dawkins. When we're in that huddle and there needed to be a play that needed to be made, Brian was the one that was, like, yelling and screaming, talking about, yo, whatever. And everybody looked at that. That was the guy. If it wasn't him, it was somebody. That's what it takes, man. Like, you can't take no player. Even if you're tired – when that guy get to talking, suck it up, bro. I need you for one more play. I need you to get there. I need you to do this. That's what it takes to be a champion. That's what it takes to have that championship mentality. I don't see how is that hard to understand.
Yeah, especially in the history of the NBA. And we'll talk more about it on the other side. But think about the Kobes, the Michaels. They had that. There's more. Like, think about their mentality. Think about this guy's. I don't see it. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. We'll get to all your calls. Embiid, the MVP race. And do you think Joel's a championship player? We'll discuss it. Lot to do here on the show. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.